That was wonderful. Let's move on to the next storyteller. The product of 9 years in San Francisco and 8 years in St. Paul. That's Minnesota geography. Rosamund Lannon is pleasantly surprised to have lived in Chicago for over a decade. These days, she writes for the internet and co-hosts Lady Live Lit Show, Misspoken. The next show is this Wednesday at the Gallery Cabaret. The theme is letters. This is Rosamund Lannon.
All right. Let's bring this up. So when I was a young goth, I like to proclaim my angry neutrality for the outdoors. Trees are fine, I guess, I said. But put me in the city. I don't need anything but concrete. I had all the world-weary cynicism of someone who free-based chili fries at Embers at 2 a.m. But I believed it. All I needed was gray and hard. All buildings and sidewalks, not a shrub in sight. Saying this stuff made me sound tough and uncaring, the cool girl I desperately wanted to be. It was one of my many attempts to hide my warm and squishy center. But there was some truth in this adolescent boast. I do like cities. I mean, I love them, in fact. I grew up in cities, I live in a city now, and I will probably die in a city. I'm getting married next year, and my biological clock continues its soft tick, but it has not yet occurred to me to live anywhere else. If anything, thoughts of the future only strengthen my desire to stay where houses are close and life pulses. And I don't have this kind of certainty about much else in the physical world. Restaurants shutter, neighborhoods shift, temperatures rise and rise. The New York Times tells me that more permafrost than ever may be lost as the planet warms, reminding me that there are greater things at stake than my Midwestern metropolis microcosm. There are seismic shifts more far-reaching than being priced out of Avondale. My nature snubs continued into college. I don't get why anyone likes to live by the lake, I said. I mean, it's nice, but, like, who cares? My third week at Loyola University Chicago, I swam in Lake Michigan in the early hours of the morning, ducking my head under the waves in an attempt to understand the invisible forces that made them crash. That night to date remains one of the most magical experiences of my life. I told no one. I couldn't blow my cover. Being into the outdoors, you can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes. Being into the outdoors didn't line up with how I saw myself. Dark, troubled, complicated. The outdoors was for douche bros and sorority babes. People with small brains who didn't read books. Probably. A few years later, my boyfriend asked if I wanted to go swimming. I don't really do pools, I demurred, but okay. We went to the pool. The sun was blinding, and the water was clear. It was cleaner and prettier than I had expected, a rec center pool that wouldn't have looked out of place on an old postcard. I slid in and remembered all at once that, oh right, I loved swimming a lot, and I loved hot concrete and bright sunshine and all the rest of it, too. So I've been thinking a lot about climate change recently. It seems like it's been an issue pretty much forever, or at least as long as I can recall. I remember reading about it as a kid, which makes sense. It became prominent in the 90s, though back then they called it global warming. Now it's understood that it's not just warming, but weather extremes. Really hot and really cold and really bad at some point, as far as all living creatures are concerned. But the temperature in that pool was perfect. And that pool was kind of a gateway drug. A gateway drug to the great outdoors. We went to beaches in Indiana and mountains in Los Angeles and eventually Hawaii, where he was born and where his family lived. And by that point, I'd come a long way from my pale disdain for growing things. I was ready. I'd heard Hawaii was pretty nice. You might have heard this too. I packed sneakers and a sports bra and clothing super suitable for outdoor activities. My boyfriend's dad took one look at me and said, maybe we should do one of the lighter trails. He chose Makapu Lighthouse Trail, a gently sloping 2 miles just off the Kalani Anioli Highway. It's low impact and high reward, which means lots of panoramic vistas, but you don't actually sweat that hard. He got me. Hawaii is tropical and stunning, a paradise of mountains and oceans. There's color everywhere, but the breeze is soft. Mangoes and avocados grow on trees, and they're like the really good kind. Not the weird, stringy guys you get at the grocery store to make your sad winter guacamole. It's heaven, or at least very close. We drove to the base of the mountain and started up the paved path. We passed a short, stocky blonde woman surrounded by Asian tourists, who I would later learn was Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife. The whole way up, thoughts burst in my head like plumeria. Green. Everything is very green. This is so beautiful. God, this is really beautiful. Everything in our world is connected by the delicate strands of the web of life, which is a balance between the forces of destruction and the magical forces of creation. And that last one is from Fern Gully, and I didn't actually think that. But I kind of did. Had I turned to some kind of tree hugger? I wanted to do more than hug Hawaii. I wanted to make out with the big monster plans, get real weird with the Windward Coast. Hawaii hit me right between the eyes. It knocked me out. I struggled to put one foot in front of the other, drinking in the low-growing plants, the old red-roofed lighthouse, the truly amazing view of Coco Head Crater. The bright heat beat down as we walked, making me feel both sleepy and incredibly alive. And by the time we got to the base, I no longer thought nature was for assholes. There will always be pretentious types in comfortable sandals who act like they're above human civilization, while benefiting from it greatly. But nature, fortunately, is democratic about its fan base. Or more accurately, nature doesn't care. It's going to do what it's going to do, whether you like it or hate it or don't really bother. And in the end, an end that I hope comes as late as we can make it, our opinions are less important than big global actions. I came to environmentalism pretty late. I try not to act like a sophomore back from his parent-sponsored walkabout in Thailand. As I read about our warming world and try to reduce my carbon footprint, I tell myself something that has become sort of a prayer. Better late than never. Better late than nothing at all.
Yeah, man, part of the reason I wanted to do this show here is because I thought it would be cool to infuse a little money into a park somewhere. So Chicago Park District is getting the money that we paid to rent this space, so hopefully that helps somewhere. They gave us a discount, which was very sweet, because they only take cash, and it was $90 and I only had $20, so it ended up being $80. So, guys, we helped raise $80 for the Chicago Park District. Way to go. Way to go. This is also the only park I called out of like five or six that answered their phone. So Chase Park, they really deserve